Tom Paxton is going to be at the Palace Theater on October 6th as part of the Folk Extravaganza, featuring David Mallet, The Makeham in Spain, also appearing Tristan Ormond and Schooner Fair. We had a chance to talk with Tom Paxton on the phone. I understand you have a birthday coming up.
I do. Kind of a milestone birthday. I'll be 80 years old on Halloween.
So how many of those 80 years did you spend performing?
I think about 57 of them. My first hero was Burl Ives. I still have the paperback Burl Ives songbook, which I'm afraid to open because I think it would turn out to be it would crumble in my hands. But I learned a lot of my early songs out of the Burl Ives songbook. I've always been partial to really beautiful voices, and certainly he had one of the best. You know, he did a lot of kind of corny stuff later on in his career, which made him a great deal of money. But it's his early stuff that I really love. I think about a year before he died, I was on a show with him in New York at the 92nd Street Y, and sat next to him in the green room, and we were just chatting, and then I said, "By the way, Burl, I never had a chance to thank you for ruining my life." And he just laughed. Because it was his music made such an impression on me that I really just had to do this. I know what. One of the first songs I ever performed was a song I learned from Burl Ives called "I Know Where I'm Going."
Well, let's play that.
Beautiful song.
"I Know Where I'm Going." A request by Tom Paxton here on The Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio.
I know where I'm going, and I know who's going with me. I know who I love, but my dear knows who I'll marry. I have stockings of silk and shoes of bright green leather, combs to buckle me hair, and a ring for every finger. Feather beds are soft and painted rooms are bonny, but I would trade them all for my handsome, winsome Johnny. Some say he's black, but I say he's bonny, fairest of them all is my handsome, winsome Johnny.
I understand Woody Guthrie was also a big influence, and you had a chance to meet him, but you chose not to.
Yes, that's true. You know that story. When Bob Dylan came to New York, he used to go out to the hospital in Brooklyn and visit with Woody. And he asked me if I wanted to go. Well, of course, you know, I'm a fellow Oklahoman with Woody. I used to play high school football against teams from Okemah, and I knew Okemah well. And I was certainly learning lots of his songs. And I thought about it for a minute, and I said, no, you know what? I think the last thing this guy needs is for another stranger to see him in the condition he's in. And I've always regretted not meeting Woody, but I've never regretted my decision not to go. I later did a public service spot for the Huntington's Korea Foundation in Massachusetts, and I spent a day at the hospital there, and I saw people with this god-awful, hideous disease where the mind is not affected at all, but the body just does what it'll do. And so I'm glad I didn't see Woody in that kind of shape.
Do you have a favorite tune that Woody Guthrie wrote that you would like us to play right now?
Oh, yeah. My favorite Woody Guthrie song is Pastures of Plenty. I mean, there are many that I love, but I think Pastures of Plenty is a very special song.
Well, let's play that now, and then we'll chat some more. How about that?
Sure, that'd be a pleasure.
You're listening to The Folk Show here at New Hampshire Public Radio.
It's a mighty hard road that these poor hands have hold. It's poor feet have wandered a hot, dusty road. Out of the dust bowl and westward we roll. Your deserts was hot and your mountains was cold. I've worked in your orchards, peaches and prunes. Slept on the ground neath the light of the moon. At the edge of your cities, you'll see us, and then we come with the dust, we're gone with the wind. California, Arizona, I've worked all your crops. Up north to Oregon to gather your hops. Pick the beets from your ground, pick the grapes from your vine. To put on your table your bright, sparkling wine. Green pastures aplenty from dry desert ground. From the Grand Coulee Dam where the waters run down. Every state in this union us migrants have been. And we'll work in this fight, and we'll fight till we win. It's always I ramble, this river and I. Through this green valley I will work till I die. This land I'll defend with my life if it be. For these pastures of plenty must always be free. This land I'll defend with my life if it be. For these pastures of plenty must always.
That was John McCutcheon and his version of the Woody Guthrie tune, Pastures of Plenty, requested tonight by Tom Paxton. We'll continue our conversation with Tom Paxton in just a moment here at New Hampshire Public Radio.
I mean, it was pretty much a perfect trip.
Robin and Richard Jenisch of Nottingham were last year's winners of a trip to London.
I didn't believe it at first.
Yeah, we were automatically entered because we are sustaining members. And
we went to the Tower of London, Buckingham Palace.
Well, I really liked the Botanical Gardens. That was a fun day.
I mean, all of it was wonderful.
Become a sustaining member of NHPR today, and you too could win a trip for two to London. It's quick and easy at nhpr.org.
Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and Lebanon Opera House, presenting the reggae band The Wailers, Sunday, October 15th, tickets at lebanonoperahouse.org. And Dartmouth Hitchcock, offering care in 30 locations across northern New England and in your community. Dartmouth Hitchcock is here, dartmouth-hitchcock.org. We're visiting with singer-songwriter Tom Paxton here on The Folk Show. Another influence in your life and in your career, Tom, was Dave Van Ronk. Well, he hired you, right?
I just have to laugh with joy at knowing that man. He was such a great friend. He was my best man when I married Midge in '63. I was his best man when he married Terry Thall in '61 or so. That didn't last as long as my marriage to Midge, but we called Dave the mayor of McDougal Street. I don't know who hung that name on him, but it fit. And I tell everybody, if they want to know what life was like for us in the village in 1962, they need to read the mayor of McDougal Street.
Do you have a favorite Dave Van Ronk story, Tom?
Oh, my God, so many. I know that he once said that he hoped that I would get a toupee because he wanted to get backstage with a fishing pole and a hook and snare it from my head in the middle of the show. So I never gave him that chance.
Well, how about a Dave Van Ronk tune?
Oh, yeah, I'll give you one.
Okay.
My absolute favorite Dave Van Ronk recording is a song called Somebody Else, Not Me.
Oh, I love that song.
You know, he wrote the last verse for that.
I didn't know that.
Himself, about the World War II. It's just a beautiful... It was a Burt Williams song. Burt Williams was a huge star back in the 20s. He also wrote a famous song called Nobody. When all day long things go amiss and I come home to find some bliss, who hands to me a glowing kiss? Nobody.
This is The Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio, and we're having a little visit with Tom Paxton. Here's Dave Van Ronk.
Great moments come to every man. Some situation where he can achieve such fame that folks acclaim the very mention of his name. A circus played our town one day and three Bengal tigers got away. The manager looked straight at me, said, "Here's your opportunity. Somebody has got to go and get those cats. Somebody has got to go. Our tiger man is sick in bed. So put on your hat and coat." That's what the man said. The man brings them back alive. A hero is gonna be. Yes. It's a wonderful chance for somebody. Somebody else, not me. Two ivory bones with ebony dots oft lead to cemetery plots. A game last night brought on a fight. that ended up in pistol shots. I was the furthest from the door. The others all got out before. Upon the floor, a man lay dead. And through the transom, someone said, "Somebody has got to stay behind. Somebody must remain." And when the officers, arrive, explain why this brother isn't alive. Yeah. The man who stays and sees it through is gonna gain notoriety. Yeah. It's a wonderful chance. A wonderful chance for somebody. Somebody else, not me. I did a little time in World War II when them Panzer tanks came rolling through in the middle of a minefield beneath barbed wire. They pinned us down with machine gun fire. There were bullets flying through the air and shrapnel shrapnelling everywhere. Our captain never showed no fear. Says he, "I need a volunteer. Somebody has got to storm that hill. Somebody has got to go. Just to charge up that hill where their minds are laid, and blow them to hell with a hand grenade." Right. "The man who storms that hill," he said, "will live in history. I'd rather live in Hackensack. It's gotta be somebody else.
It's Dave Van Ronk. Tom Paxton picked that out for us. "Somebody Else, Not Me." I love that you were talking about Dave Van Ronk and that he hired you for $10 a night. Was he the first one to hire you?
Could have been, yeah.
Might have been at the Gaslight or
or Garrity's? The Commons, okay. Which was across the street from the Gaslight. And he was performing there, and he was also hiring the rest of the performers. There would be about six different people on the bill, and you'd each do like three songs, and then they'd turn the house over. And I was still in the army, and those $10 really helped, because during the week I wouldn't have to go to the mess hall for lunch. I could go get a cheeseburger at the PX, which was infinitely preferable to the mess hall, and my folk bucks enabled me to live it up.
You mentioned that MCs were the only people that got paid at some of the shows at the Hootenannies. Is that right?
That's right. I mean, on Monday night at Gertie's, Brother John Sellers was the MC, and sometimes Dominic Chianese from The Sopranos. He was Uncle something, the crazy nut. He was one of the other MCs, and they got paid, but none of the performers got paid. Mm-hmm. on Monday night. You were just glad to do what you were. Hoping to be noticed and doing it for the love of it, and everybody did it for the love of it, and Mike Porco made a fortune.
I'm going to pass the hat on October 6th. How about that?
Oh, that's great. That'll be that'll only double my fee.
Speaking of hats, How long have you been wearing a hat? I noticed I watched a little video of you performing at the BBC Tonight in person, and you weren't wearing a hat then. So when did you start wearing your signature hat?
I started wearing it. I got my first one of them at a department store in Stockholm in 68. And it fit my round head perfectly. And so I've been wearing them ever since. I lost that first one in about a year, and got the next time I was in Sweden, I got another one, and lost that in about a year. You would think I would have known to get several, but for years I got the Greek fishing cap that had the lace on the bill, which I didn't really like. And then back in the 90s, sometime in the 90s, I found out that the company that made the Greek fishing cap also made one that was plain, like my original Swedish cap. And so this time I was smart, and I bought, I think, 7 or 8 of them. And now and then I would give one to a charity for auction.
Uh-huh.
But I still have about 3 or 4 of them left.
Well, thank goodness Dave Van Ronk won't be around on October 6th, because we don't want anybody using a fishing pole to take off your hat while you're performing.
Right.
Tom, let's take another break, and we'll come back and talk a little more here on The Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio.
Time is running out to win a trip for two to London. Don't miss your chance to see Buckingham Palace, ride the London Eye, or take a trip to Stonehenge. The best way to enter? Go online and give $5 or $10 a month as an NHPR sustaining member. You'll provide steady, reliable support for public radio news in your life, and all sustainers are automatically entered to win. So don't delay. Give today at nhpr.org.
Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and the Flying Monkey Performance Center in Plymouth, presenting the country, blues, and Americana stylings of the Cowboy Junkies on September 29th, FlyingMonkeyNH.com. And Ansel and Anderson Trust and Estate Attorneys in Bedford, helping families transfer wealth to the next generation in the most tax-efficient manner. On the web at ANSELLPA.com. We're on the phone with legendary folk singer and songwriter Tom Paxton. He's going to be over at the Palace Theater on October 6th, part of the Folk Extravaganza, which will also feature David Mallet, Makem and Spain, Tristan Ormond, and Schooner Fair. So, Tom, what are you writing about these days? There's not any material to write about anymore, is there?
Oh, no, there's no material at all.
Are you in the process of writing anything special?
I've got a couple things in motion, but nothing ready to show anybody. But I am writing a fair bit. I'm doing a great many shows now with two fellows named John Vesner and Don Henry, both great songwriters. Together they call themselves the Don Juan.
We really enjoy your most recent release, The Boat in the Water.
Oh, you like that?
That's
great.
Really nice. It's very nice, yeah.
Yeah, well, I wrote that song with Pat Alger.
Oh, another great
songwriter.
Another
great Nashville writer.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Wasn't he Love at the Five and Dime? Was he the guy?
He did, yeah.
Yeah, nice song. Tom, you talked about Burl Ives' songbook, but you have a songbook too, don't you?
It's called The Honor of Your Company, and I think there are about 80 songs in there. We put the songs in very simple form. I learned that from Pete Seeger's wonderful book, Where Have All the Flowers Gone? Basically just a lead sheet version of, you know, just the melody and the chords and the lyrics. And so you don't have to take up a whole page for a song. And I got a whole bunch of songs in there, and I wrote a lot of notes for the songs and a beginning section, including the lyric of the first song I ever wrote, which was one of the three or four worst songs in the English language, I think. I mean, it was just awful.
And you included it in the book, anyway. Yeah.
Huh?
You included it in the book.
Yeah, I wanted people to see that if they like the stuff that I do, they should look at the early stuff and they would find themselves saying, "My God, if he could write something that awful, and then finally write some good songs, maybe there's hope for me." And you know what? My wife Midge gave me a book, a coffee table book, the complete lyrics of Ira Gershwin. Now, Ira Gershwin is inarguably one of the greatest lyricists in the American theater. This is the man who wrote, you know, all the lyrics for Porgy and Bess.
Oh, yeah.
Among other things, okay? Well, it is really instructive, particularly for a songwriter, to look at the early stuff that he did. I mean, this was stuff that was being produced on Broadway. He was a successful Broadway lyricist writing absolute crap. I mean, these early shows that he was doing, I mean, the lyrics were ridiculous. And from that, he became one of the greatest lyricists in the English language. So growth is always, always possible.
So you can learn.
You can.
Just got to keep trying.
I'm having more fun now than I've had for years. And for this, I blame Janice Ian.
Oh.
She has a lot to answer for because she came up to me 6 or 7 years ago and said, why don't we do some shows together? And I said, that sounds like a winning idea. So we wound up, over the space of 3 or 4 years, we wound up doing several tours together, including a tour of England and Scotland, and an extensive tour of this country. And I hadn't had that much fun for years and years and years, because I've been traveling alone all the time. So I had such fun with Janice that... When my friend John Vesner said, "I'm doing stuff with my pal Don Henry, and we call ourselves the Don Juans. We'd love to open shows for you." And I said, "That sounds like another good idea." So we started doing that, and it became more and more a trio deal than opening. I love working with them. We have a lot of fun.
It was great to see you at the Palace Theater last year in Manchester, and I'm really looking forward to seeing you again on October 6th.
I hope you'll bring a whole bunch of people with you.
I'm going to do my best. Is there one last song I can play today that will cap it off for us?
Yes.
What's that?
Play Redemption Road, which I wrote with my great friend, Jeff Barkley from Cambridge.
And wasn't there an album with the same name?
Yep.
Okay. We'll play it then.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Tom Paxton, for being our guest on The Folk Show here at New Hampshire Public Radio.
Great talking to you.
Here's Redemption Road from Tom Paxton here on The Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio.
Paid the man all he was owed, tipped my hat and walked away down that sweet redemption road. Put it down to yesterday. Come redemption, my own friend, when the seeds of life are sowed, can't complain. I took out what I put in. Days of snow and days of rain and redemption in the end. Come redemption, my old friend, when the seeds of life are sown.
Listening to the Folk Show here at New Hampshire Public Radio.